Do you think it makes any real difference to anybody whether Jesus Christ was actually raised from the dead? Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. We're continuing in our study of the Gospel of John, and we are just now in this very inspiring and wonderful section where we're reading about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of our Christian faith leads us to this time of triumph and glory, when the will of God is done by overcoming the things of the flesh, overcoming the things of this world, and we move into the things of eternal life. And all of this we see in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, the actual story itself shows that the disciples needed to get used to the idea and need to learn about it. Our study just today takes us in the Gospel of John in chapter 20 to verses 19 to 23. So if you will open up the book at that point in John chapter 20, and beginning at verse 19, as we read along here, we're going to see that there were three aspects of experience set out just in succession. And these three always follow each other, I do believe. We'll see in verse 19 there is one aspect, in verse 20 there's another, and then in verses 21 to 23 there's still another. And they belong in this order. They'll come just this way. So let us look at verse 19. We read, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." That's the record. Now let's look at it for just a moment. What does it reveal? It reveals the disciples gathered together, I almost said huddled together, in an upper room, in secret, with doors locked, for fear of the Jews. Their leader had been Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth had been publicly condemned by the high court of the Jewish nation. He had been openly treated like an ordinary criminal. The Roman court had delivered him over unto death, and he had been put to death, and they knew it. This being the case, everything he stood for seemed to be in jeopardy, and these disciples of his, these people who followed him, could easily feel that something of the same fate might come to them, that if they would smite the shepherd, they might certainly smite the sheep. And you can just picture that it was with a good deal of fear and trembling that these folks gathered together, and I think it would be proper to say in bewilderment. They didn't know what to make of it. I know the Lord had told them, but it had been hard for them to believe that this is the way in which it was going to come to pass. And truly, as the Scriptures have said, when the shepherd was smitten, the sheep were scattered. And these bewildered followers, then, were huddled together in this upper room in what we might call fearful seclusion in hiding. Now, in this condition, and you might just generally use the word confusion as well as fear, in this general state of a mixed-up mind and heart such as they had, suddenly the Lord Jesus appeared in their midst. The door was locked. He appeared in their midst, in the midst of their confusion. And the first word he spoke to them is the word that he will speak to every single one of us. Peace be unto you. Now, if we were to picture ourselves in this situation, we could take any of us as we are believers, any of us. And as believers, let us pass through some experience in which we have been shocked and perhaps have been hurt and perhaps have been actually abused. Let us suppose we've been in some situation where there has been rejection. And because we were Christians and we wanted to do the Christian thing, let us suppose that we have suffered some sort of rejection from people. And we are in baffled condition. We don't know what to do. We don't know which way to turn. We put our trust in the Lord, but just now everything's going wrong. Looks like everything is against us. Right in the midst of this fearful confusion that can actually be such a disturbance, keeping us awake at night, in this situation, the Lord Jesus will come. He came to them and spoke, "Peace be unto you," speaking peace to their hearts. Now, quickly, I want you to notice what followed, because when he had so said, As soon as he had spoken this word peace, then he's going to go ahead and supply the ground for it. He's going to indicate how they can have it. And so we read in verse 20, "When he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side." This would mean perhaps far more than we can possibly interpret. For one thing, it identified him. They knew for sure who he was. Those hands had been pierced with nails, and that side had been pierced with a spear. He showed them. He was actually the Jesus of Nazareth. This was the person they had seen hanging on the cross. And perhaps he showed them something more, too. Maybe in that they suddenly sensed that he knew what this thing was. He knew what it was to be broken. He knew what it was to be rejected. If they felt rejected because of fear of the Jews, he too had been in this very situation. The main thing, however, that he wanted apparently to indicate to them was that he was really and truly alive. This was the big thing that was to be brought across to them. He had really and truly been raised from the dead, and this was truly the Lord himself. And so we see something of conviction coming into the hearts of these people. And where there had been confusion before, now there is conviction. And no wonder now we read, "Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." Now before that they were in confusion, and they were in disheartened, they were in discouragement. Now they were glad when they saw the Lord. Not just that they saw his face and that he looked upon them with benign benevolence, not just that, but when they saw him, they knew that God's will would be done. They knew that God was able to raise the dead. They knew that God's purposes would be carried out. It would suddenly speak a wonderful promise to them of the days to come. And that would be a grand thing and give them great assurance. And yet, I wouldn't be a bit surprised that the actual reason why their hearts were filled with joy was that in this moment they again had fellowship with him who knew altogether all about them and had been gracious and merciful to them all the time anyway. And they had fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And doubtless I think this is the strong, immediate reason for the joy that they had. They were in personal fellowship with the living Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have conviction. Where there had been confusion, we have moved to conviction. And now I want you to notice in verses 21 to 23, as soon as these people have been convinced about him, and their feeling of sorrow has been turned to joy, and their feeling of confusion has been brought through to peace, from the moment that this happens, the Lord Jesus speaks in verse 21 like this, "Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you." Keep that in mind. Basically, this is to be true. Then this, "As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." Now we're going to have commission. We began in this passage with confusion, then we had conviction, and now with conviction comes the commission. And the commission is that they are to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's actually what's to happen. But this is the way it's put here. When he had said this, coming back to verse 21, "Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And we know that God sent his Son into the world to seek and to save the lost. We are sent into the world to seek and to save the lost. I think it would be a fine thing for we people in the church just remember this, that when the Lord Jesus came into the world to do his Father's will, he didn't take part in any worldly activities at all, good or bad. He actually accumulated no wealth of any sort at all, so far as that is concerned. He spent himself in the service of others. And this would be a wonderful thing if the church would keep in mind that this is our function, as it were, in him, as we carry out his will. "As my Father hath sent me, so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." I think this is said somewhat in terms of prediction as well as actual event. When he said to them, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit," I think he is giving them a command which was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. But it implies this to them, there's something more for you and something you're going to have, something for you to keep in mind. And this good man has here brought it to us in this way, in the way in which we find it in this passage recorded for us. "Receive ye the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." This is a marvelous passage. This implies that when we go on with the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ and we actually carry out His will, we actually do the things that He wants us to do, that as we are doing that, people will really be brought to Him. When He says, "Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them," this is not to give us the power to forgive sins, but it gives us the power to deliver people from sin. You see how that is done? We'll take you come across a person who is a sinner. You and I can't forgive him, but we can show him how to be delivered from them. We bring him to the Lord Jesus Christ, and as he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and believes in him, his sins are forgiven. So we actually brought him into the forgiveness of sins. And no matter where we go, this will be done. This whole truth that you see here in verse 23 is carried out on the mission field wherever you think about it. Wherever the missionaries go, wherever preachers go, wherever evangelists go, if anybody listens, hears, believes, receives the Lord Jesus Christ, that person is delivered from sin. And the speaker, the missionary, the minister, the preacher, the evangelist, the mother, the father, the Sunday school teacher, anyone who brings the other person into an understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ is actually bringing that person into the deliverance from sin. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained, which is to say this, that if you have preached and people have not believed, if you have taught and people have not received, then they will remain in the sins that they had. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us to understand our great privilege as servants of thine and witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ, and cause us to be willing to carry the gospel everywhere to everybody, that by all means some might be saved. For thine name's sake we ask it. Amen.